is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Sri Lanka, Indo-Pacific, the new battle space for the 21st century. CNN in these last hours. Sri Lanka's president, Gotabaya Rajapaksa, was blocked from departing Sri Lanka after refusing to join a public queue at the international airport in order to have his passport checked by immigration. Aides for Rajapaksa, the president of the country, at the airport in Colombo, with 15 passports belonging to the president and members of his family, including the first lady, who had booked seats on a Sri Lankan Airlines flight leaving for Dubai. Local time, 6:25. Immigration officers declined to process the passports. We go from there to news that's even more alarming about the state of Sri Lanka. Sri Lanka, says the BBC, will see a, quote, terrible massive strike and huge demonstrations if the president and prime minister do not quit immediately in these next hours. This is the day President Rajapaksa has promised to resign after he fled crowds who stormed his palace, but many worry he won't keep his word. I welcome Gregory Copley, the editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs, who is my eyes on the Indo-Pacific. Gregory is Indian Ocean regarding from his perch at Perth. Now he's back in the United States to help me understand a story that's been building for some time, although it wasn't until recently the story of the shortage of fuel, the inadequate food supply because of decisions made by the president, and what appears to be the complete waste, the throwing away of money borrowed from the Chinese on huge airport that doesn't actually have any planes at it, and other boondoggles around the island. Rajapaksa is a very strong family, and they've been ruling Sri Lanka at their whim until now. Gregory, a very good evening to you. You write about this most recently, and it is far away and a small country, but certainly shakes the confidence of everybody in the Indo-Pacific because it begins to resemble the kind of Romanian coup that we saw at the end of the Soviet era when dictators for a long time suddenly no longer inspired fear in the crowd. I remember weeks ago when we first touched on this, the army had been told to shoot on sight for demonstrators. What's happened in the interim? Good evening to you.
Good evening. It's been a very eventful week, coupled with a few eventful months in Sri Lanka. The situation is getting worse, and it will continue to get worse before it gets better, because even though we have the promise of the resignation of the president, who attempted to flee the country, as you said, and the interim prime minister, who was basically there to hold it together until matters could be improved. But when they go, which could be as early as tomorrow, the parliament then has to put in the speaker of parliament as the interim president of the country. But then parliament itself must decide and vote within 30 days for a new president to complete the existing presidential term, which comes to an end in 2024. However, the reality remains that the parliament itself is dominated over the 145 seats out of 225 seats by the Rajapaksa-controlled Sri Lankan People's Freedom Alliance. So basically, you could see, in a sense, the Rajapaksas putting in another one of their candidates. It may not happen because the Sri Lankan People's Freedom Alliance has been under attack by the mobs themselves. So although you've seen literally hundreds of thousands at a minimum of people in the streets swarming on the presidential palace as well as on the home of the interim prime minister, they've also been swarming on the homes of a lot of the ruling party's parliamentarians and damaging and destroying them. One ruling party member of parliament was killed in a shootout during a mob protest. So it's really getting tricky. Someone's mentioned that this could go the way of Romania. That's true. It's possible that unless President Gotabaya Rajapaksa himself formally comes out quits unequivocally and essentially throws himself on the mercy of the population, there is a chance that it could get very, very violent indeed. But because of the process of going through Parliament to put in a new lawful president, we could see continued aggravation for that time. The only hope for continuity you might grasp at is that the central bank governor, who's been in the post for some time, said that he would not resign and he would serve out his six-year term. And the central bank is key to this because that's the one, that's the body negotiating with the International Monetary Fund, the IMF, to get some loans in to alleviate the problem. In the meantime, yes, India and the People's Republic of China have been putting in some aid, but the rest of the world has arguably not done that and probably will need to think about that because this is a situation every bit as grave as the Russia-Ukraine war. And we've got a number of these situations erupting around the world, and we've been distracted from them by news of the Iran, of the Ukraine-Russia war. But there are these other crises like Sri Lanka, which are absolutely now critical. And Sri Lanka is typical of the crises which are just beginning to erupt in places like Egypt and Ethiopia and the like, and elsewhere in Africa, and possibly in Latin America, where we're seeing food shortages, inflation-led shortages of fuel and other products. So this is really going to be a worldwide pandemic. And in fact, one of the reports we just did was called Sri Lanka and the start of a starvation pandemic.
Yes, we have disorder, and I want to go to the roots of it in Sri Lanka because it's striking. Rajapaksa, this fifth term begins in 2020, so he's a longtime strongman in the country. And the pandemic strikes just about the time he stands for his fifth term. But also that, as you report, was the moment that tourism collapsed. However, that leads to strange decisions about chemical fertilizer. Explain, please.
Well, in fact, it's very easy to get all the Rajapaksas confused. There's the prime minister who had started his fifth term and was basically thrown out a couple of months ago, but his younger brother, who had been the former defense minister, was now the president, and so on. And another brother was the finance minister. So you had this unholy alliance of Rajapaksas running the country and stealing from it for a long time. They had been behind these great loans coming in from the People's Republic of China under the so-called Belt and Road Initiative, building not only that airport but an adjacent seaport as well, both of which have been boondoggles, and the country has been paying back the Chinese loans for that, even though the Rajapaksa family were benefiting from ownership of a lot of these assets. So you had the president just over a year or so ago, who decided that Sri Lanka would become the world's first organic country. And so he put an immediate ban on the importation and use of chemical fertilizers. Within the next crop season, food production dropped up to 50% with some crops, particularly on the production of rice. And 30% of the Sri Lankan labor force are farmers. So all of a sudden, they are going broke. Their output has ceased. The country is not getting enough food, can't afford to import food, and the situation just went spiraling downhill at a time when, as you say, we had the COVID crisis stopping the next big economic sector of Sri Lanka, which was tourism. So the country just spiraled down rapidly to the point where it was then hit by inflation and the like, and of course, subsequent rises after the Ukraine-Russia war, spiking in prices of petroleum products and including natural gas and fertilizers. All of a sudden, the country is bankrupt. It's absolutely run out of foreign exchange. Airlines flying into the country have been told to bring enough fuel so that they can return whence they came after they've landed in Sri Lanka, because there's just not enough fuel in the country. There's not enough money to buy fuel and so on. So the whole thing spiraled dramatically out of control. And as I say, the next 6 months is going to be have to be hallmarked by massive aid programs of food going into the country, and then obviously new policies to enable foreign investment to stabilize, tourism to restart after COVID, and for the farmers to be somehow helped back onto the land with the aid, not only of money, but of chemical fertilizers.
In the meantime, what we have is apparently mob violence and concerns about famine throughout Sri Lanka. There's more trouble in the Indo-Pacific. I'm speaking with Gregory Copley of Defense and Foreign Affairs. We're going to Japan and the passing of a former prime minister initiating deep concerns about security in the whole of the Indo-Pacific. I'm John Batchelor.